From the JPR Steve Nelson Performance Studio on the campus of Southern Oregon University, welcome to another JPR Live session where we get to know artists we admire and hear exclusive in-studio performances. I'm Dave Jackson. JPR Live sessions are made possible with support from the Talent Club. You can find their live music schedule at talentclublive.com. Joining me is a musician considered by many to be the best at his instrument. He's been called the Jimi Hendrix of the ukulele, but substitute Miles Davis, Eddie Van Halen, Tommy Emmanuel for Hendrix, and you kind of catch my drift. Jake Shimabukuro has taken ukulele to places it was never quite made for, with his complex techniques and use of effects to produce different sounds, and the multi-genre catalog of music he's put out. Jake Shimabukuro is performing tonight at the historic Cascade Theater in Reading. Tickets and information can be found at cascadetheater.org. Jake Shimabukuro, welcome back to JPR.
Hey, aloha. Thanks for having me again. It's great to be back here. Thank you for the kind words. What a nice intro. Thank you.
Jake is joined today by bassist Jackson Waldoff. And how long have you guys been playing together?
About 5 or 6 years.
Almost, yeah, 5 or 6, yeah. I think.
Yeah, Jackson's also from Hawaii. We went to the same high school together. But yeah, just an amazing musician and just a wonderful, wonderful human being. So honored to share the stage with
you. Thanks, Jake.
When you're not on an extensive touring schedule like you are right now, is Oahu is home, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Is that where you grew up too?
Yep, born and raised right in Honolulu and Kaimuki to be exact. Yeah,
nice. I like to get to Hawaii as much as I can. So. Your most recent album is Blues Experience. You're joined by Mick Fleetwood. Talk about how that collaboration came together.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was really truly a dream come true. I mean, you know, it was so generous of him to give us that opportunity. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, to be in the studio with him and record. I mean, all the tracks were all recorded live. So uh-huh. We got to go over to, he has this beautiful studio in Maui. You know, he's uh-huh. been a longtime resident of Maui.
Right.
So he invited Jackson and myself and our other friend, Michael Grande, on keyboards. Uh-huh. And the four of us just sat down, handpicked a bunch of iconic blues tunes or rock tunes, and just went in there and just laid them down, and it was just so inspiring. You know, when you listen to the record, I mean, he sounds as good as ever. I mean, his intensity, right. His playing.
Yeah, he's always he's got a great technique.
Oh, man, his feel is unbelievable.
Right. And I know he had a restaurant in Maui. Is he planning to rebuild, do you know?
I haven't heard. Yeah. Lahaina is still it's gonna still recovering. So
yeah, it's really sad to see that happen. Mm-hmm. So. Well, why don't you start us off with a song? What do you want to play?
Well, we'll do something off the new record. This is actually the first track on the Blues Experience, and you know, we were talking about our love for one of our favorite guitar players, the late Jeff Beck, mm-hmm. and so this is 'Cause We've Ended as Lovers.
It's Jake Shimabukuro in a JPR Live session. It's Jake Shimabukuro in a JPR live session. That was Because We've Ended as Lovers, probably most famously known by Jeff Beck, but actually written by Stevie Wonder. Is that
That's right. That's correct.
It has words to it. I have no idea what they are.
So, yeah, I believe the version of with the lyrics is the one with Sarita. She's she's singing that. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Nice. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I don't think I've heard it other than the Jeff Beck version and now yours. So that album, Blues Experience, how did you guys go about picking out those songs?
Oh, yeah, it was just like an open discussion. You know, we would just like talk about certain songs that we liked and things we wanted to try. And you know, like we really followed Mick's lead, you know, on all of this because, I mean, Mick Fleetwood, you know, he kind of pioneered that whole style of like blues drumming and rock drumming because, you know, I remember that even before Fleetwood Mac, I mean, he was John Mayall's drummer. Mm-hmm. And then the early configuration of Fleetwood Mac, you know, they were a blues band with Peter Green and one of the greatest blues guitar players. So, yeah, so just kind of following his lead, you know, on some of those tunes. Yeah, it was really great. And I tell people playing with him in the studio, you know, he's like a great point guard on a basketball team. And he just elevates everyone, you know, around him. And it was really inspiring.
All right, cool. So you you did A Day in the Life. You've done some Beatles tunes in your past. You did A Day in the Life with John Anderson from Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was on a different record, but yes.
Oh, that's right. That was on the Jake and Friends record. That's right. Mm-hmm, okay, well, I was going to talk about that later. Let's talk about it now.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
It was interesting in that song how you guys put together the orchestrated part with what seemed like kind of a small band in there. How did you guys like dream that up? That was just kind of really neat.
Yeah, so it was just, I mean, of course, I've been a huge, huge John Anderson fan.
Right.
I mean, just to hear his iconic voice, you know, with the ukulele was pretty unbelievable. Right. And you know, he actually plays the ukulele. Uh-huh. He loves playing the ukulele. So, but a lot of it was done with a looper that I have here and I use it, often. So I can kind of create a lot of different sounds. Like I can, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, in real time. So like I could play like, you know, I could make these tones, like, you know, so I can start creating all these textures, and if I want, I can get really funky. And get some rumble in there. Enough of that, but you know, but you get the idea. So you can create all these layers and multiple parts, and you know, and it just makes it, especially when we tour, you know, a lot of times it's just Jackson and myself. So to kind of, you know, build up some of the songs and to take it somewhere, it's nice to have, you know, a looper like this where I can record things in real time and just kind of layer them over.
Yeah. Well, it turned out really neat in that song. I was just I heard that, it's like, wow, that's really creative.
Oh, thank you.
And then you did a blues song that Fleetwood Mac later did on the Blues Experience album, and then Songbird, right?
Yeah, the Songbird, that was a tribute to Christine McVie. You know, it was actually was it on her birthday? It was approaching her birthday, recorded it, and it was just her first birthday after she had passed, and so it was a really I mean, that was a very, a moment in the studio I'll never forget, you know, because you could just feel there was like this heaviness, you know, when we went in to record the piece.
It was kind of foggy and raining in the morning too.
Yeah. And we went in and, you know, it was interesting because we didn't really talk about how we were going to do the arrangement. Mm. We just kind of went in there and I just remember Mick was tuning up his drums and then we got our headphones on, make sure we had our sounds, and then Mick just started this drum groove that you hear on the record, and he had just had his eyes closed, and we all kind of realized like, okay, well, let's, you know, go for it, and we followed his lead, and it was amazing. I mean, the song really just kind of played itself. And I remember at the end, we all just kind of faded out and Mick kept going with the drum groove and still had his eyes closed. And then he came to a stop and it was like just a silence, you know, for, I don't know, like 20, 30 seconds and no one moved, you know. And then he opened his eyes and he said that he felt Christine's presence with us, you know, in the studio as we were playing that. So that was really, really a special moment.
I imagine so. I'd mentioned earlier you take the ukulele to sonic regions that it usually doesn't end up as. And I know your version of Rockin' in the Free World. I saw Neil Young with Pearl Jam back in 1992 play that song. Your version is just about as heavy as that was. It's kind of fun, but... So what made you guys decide to do that one?
Yeah, well, it was actually, you know, I've always been a huge, you know, Neil Young fan, of course, and yeah, that was kind of a last minute add on because there was another project going on. You know, they were doing this Neil Young tribute project, and so someone from that project had contacted my manager. Coincidentally, while we were in the studio with Mick Fleetwood. My manager Van was like, oh, actually Jake's in the studio right now with Mick Fleetwood, you know, you want us to just lay it down. They were like, Mick Fleetwood, that's crazy. They're like, yeah. So we were like, okay, yeah, so let's do it. And they allowed us to also keep it for this blues record as well. So we released it on both projects. But yeah, it was really neat because I was trying to think like, how am I going to pull this off? And so it was a combination of this pog sound. Well, this is just the regular ukulele, you know. Right. But if you put the pog on there, then you got this. A little deeper sound. And then if you add the overdrive, you get this. You know, so you can get that really big sound.
Right. Yeah. That's very cool. And you did one original on that album, Kula Blues?
Yeah, actually, it's the only original song on the record, and it's like a 12-bar shuffle, and oh my goodness, when, you know, I think it really changed the way we felt the shuffle, you know, because, right? Yeah. I mean, like, we've played blues shuffles before, but now when Mick plays a shuffle, it's like, whoa, okay, all right, here we go, man. Totally different world. But it was so inspiring. Yeah. So we got this the song called the Kula Blues, and we called it the Kula Blues because that's where Mick lives. His studio is in Kula, Maui. And so we probably could have came up with something a little bit more creative, but yeah.
Why not?
Very straightforward, you know.
Well, you feel like playing that for us?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Of course.
Jake Shima Bakuro, Kula Blues in a JPR Live session. Thank you. Jake Shimabukuro with Kula Blues in a JPR live session. Jake Shimabukuro is playing tonight at the historic Cascade Theater in Reading. Tickets and information are at cascadetheater.org. Really nice stuff. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
So your musical reach lately, we talked a little about Mick Fleetwood there. We talked about John Anderson. Jake and Friends just sort of, it was sort of an everybody thing. You could do 6 degrees of Jake Shimabukuro now, and you can like come up with everybody. You've like, you know, Jack Johnson and Paula Fugger are folks you'd probably expect that you'd play with and hang out with ukulele players. They're great in that. But you also worked with Bette Midler.
Oh, and man, that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. How did that come about?
Well, Bette also has ties to Hawaii. She was born and raised there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That was amazing, you know, and I actually met her through Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, really?
When I was touring with Jimmy Buffett and the Corey Reefer Band. And that was incredible. You know, we got to record The Rose, which was my mom's all-time favorite song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was really special to do that with her.
Oh, man. And also, you did a couple Beatles tunes in there other than A Day in the Life with Ziggy Marley, All You Need Is Love.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was a really nice version of that. And then you worked with Amy Grant and Vince Gill.
Oh, that was so cool. They did George Harrison's Something.
Right.
And they sang it as a duet. And it was the first time I had ever heard it as a duet. And I think it should always be a duet from now on. It was so beautiful the way they did it.
That's really nice. Yeah. And then I'm guessing you and Billy Strings probably had a good time jamming.
Oh, yeah. He's just phenomenal, you know. He's so virtuosic and such a great improviser. So that tune that we played on the album is called "Smoke and Strings,"
right?
And it was really, it just turned out to be a live, improvised kind of. I mean, we kind of had an idea of what we're gonna do, like for the slow melodic part, but then we wanted to go into some kind of jam,
right?
And that recording that made it on the, that was our first take. First time we ever played together.
Wow.
We just kind of went for it.
Right.
And it was like, after that, we were like, man, I think that was it, you know? So I think just having that spontaneous energy is what makes him so great. And I think that's what made the track so powerful.
Yeah, it's really nice stuff there. Well, let's hear another tune.
All right, sure.
What do you want to play for us?
Well, this is kind of a new one that we've been doing. I was born and raised in Hawaii, and I was always familiar with the Hawaiian lap steel guitar, but I didn't realize how the influence of it, right? Because so there was a man named Joseph Kekuku, who was in 1885. Now get this, in 1885, he had the idea to, you know, take a guitar, put it on his lap, and he took a steel bar, put it on the strings, and, you know, just started running it up and down the strings like he was surfing the strings.
Right.
And it just, it's a sound that is synonymous with country music. I mean, I tell people it's like bar five of the first song of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon is the Hawaiian lap steel, right? So so it really just kind of blew my mind. And recently there's been a lot of some documentaries and some articles that have been coming out about his influence. And I didn't even realize that the very first electric guitar was the Hawaiian lap steel guitar.
Mm.
Yeah. So it really, this is a song that was inspired by this incredible musician, Joseph Kekuku. And this is a song called The Legend of Joseph Kekuku. And it actually inspired me to pick up the slide myself and do some slide ukulele stuff. So hope you enjoy this.
Well. That's Jake Shimabukuro and a JPR live session.
Thank you.
soon as I pick my jaw up on the floor, I'd like to say that is Jake Shimabukuro with a song called The Legend of Joseph Kekuku in a JPR live session.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for playing. That's really nice. Take us back just a little bit to 2006. I know you've probably told the story a gazillion times, but I don't know if I've heard it. Somebody put your video on YouTube without you knowing about it, and that was the Central Park While My Guitar Gently Weeps video, is that?
Yeah, no, so yeah, this was back in 2006, so right. You know, YouTube was just starting out right. Around that time, so at the time, you know, I didn't even know what YouTube was, but I was in Central Park, I was in New York, I was doing a show over at B.B. King's, uh-huh. I had a concert that I was doing there, and before the concert, there was a group that had reached out, they were called Ukulele Disco, uh-huh. And they wanted to interview me, you know, uh-huh. for this little TV special that they were doing. So we met out over in Central Park, and they had me sit down near Strawberry Fields, and they asked me a few questions and then had me play a song. So at the time, I was working on my favorite George Harrison song, which was While My Guitar Gently Weeps. So I played that, and they were like, oh man, thank you so much. And I did my show that night, and I went back home to Hawaii. And then fast forward like maybe a month or two later, some friends of mine started calling me, and they're like, hey, you know, there's this, people have been sending me this video of you playing, you know, playing in Central Park. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because at the time you couldn't email someone a video. I mean, that technology was so new.
Right.
So they sent me the email. They said, just click on that, you know, we didn't even call it a link back then. They just said, just click on that thing and, you know, it'll come up. And then sure enough, it was the footage from that TV show. So to this day, I don't know exactly who put it up, but it went, you know, people started sharing it, and it went viral. Even the people at YouTube said it was one of their first viral videos.
I just learned that. Yeah, it was one of the first thing that they said was a viral.
And so I just feel like I was just in the right place at the right time. And I feel like maybe George Harrison, you know, up there was like, oh, you know, because he loved the ukulele.
Right.
And he enjoyed like sharing this instrument with people. And I feel like maybe he had a hand in, you know, in the internet and was like, you know, I'm going to get this out to more people. I have no idea. But, you know, it completely changed my life, and it opened up all these doors for me, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's a great way to kind of get yourself out there even if it was by accident.
Oh yeah, no, I'm so grateful. We play it every night, you know, whenever we're on tour. It's like my favorite song to play, and I never get tired of playing it. Yeah. It's such a great, great tune. And, you know, to know that George Harrison loved this instrument, to play that song on the ukulele, you know, just makes it even more special. And he was another one. He, you know, part-time, he lived on Maui as well.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Jake Shimabukuro is performing tonight at the Cascade Theater in Reading. You can find tickets and more information at cascadetheater.org. You can find more about Jake Shimabukuro, purchase music and merch, and get his tour schedule at his website, jakeshimabukuro.com. And where can people find you on the social medias?
We're on, you know, Facebook and Instagram and at Jake Shimabukuro.
Great. Well, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you and hearing you play. What's on the horizon? I noticed you're like pretty much booked up daily till the end of the year or something like that.
Yeah, well, we're just about to release our holiday record.
Wow.
So we got a holiday record coming out that's coming out soon. And then we have our Asia tour. We're doing, I think, 7 or 8 shows in Japan, 5 shows in China, and then a show in Korea. And then we come back and then we start our holiday tour.
Uh-huh.
And so we're very grateful and just, you know, honored to have the opportunity, you know, to play and to visit all these different communities and just bring some music, you know, to them. And it's been really great. I mean, just to see, you know, the excitement recently at the shows, you know, we're just so grateful that people are coming out to support the arts, to support live music, because, you know, to me, I think it's so important, especially, you know, music just has this magic, this magical way of bringing the community together and making everyone feel, I don't know, connected, you know, and it really is special to be able to experience that with the various communities that we get to play in.
All right. Well, enjoy that tour. And thanks again for playing with us tonight. Jake Shimabukuro and Jackson Waldoff again performing at the Cascade Theater in Redding, cascadetheater.org for tickets and information. Thanks, you guys, so much.
Oh, thank you. Truly an honor.
Thank you so much.
JPR Live Sessions are engineered by John Griffin, made possible with support from the Talent Club in Talent, featuring live music and cold beverages in a casual atmosphere. Find their live music schedule at talentclublive.com. And you can find this JPR Live session later on our website and wherever you get your podcasts.